This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, the show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Hello and welcome once again to Well, 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 brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council. We come live to you every Tuesday from midday, and I'm Jack with my co-host today, the lovely Anthony and the wonderful Murray.
Wonderful, I was thinking gorgeous.
I got lovely. But we're going to be talking about a really interesting topic again this week. Last week we talked about family violence in the gay in the GLBTI community, which doesn't actually get a lot of airtime in the mainstream sector. So today we're going to continue those discussions and talk about family violence in the GLBTI community, but more from a police response. We've got a very special guest on today, Gabby Tyack, the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer. She's a senior constable at Victoria Police, and Gabby's a friend of ours here at Joy.
Absolutely. And following Gabby, we've got another guest, Dr. Stephen Carbone from Beyond Blue, talking about mental health and men's mental health and how that interrelates with family violence.
So that's right. This is part of an ongoing series that we're trying. So we're picking a topic and we'll cover it over 4 weeks with a different sort of shade each week that we'll be discussing.
A different emphasis on an aspect of a health issue.
Yeah, very important issues, often difficult to discuss publicly. And if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can do so in a number of ways. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au. You can send us an SMS on 0427-JOY949. You can give us a call and speak to our lovely receptionist on 1300-JOY949. Get involved.
Send us an email too.
So there really is no excuse.
An SMS.
You need to get involved in the conversation.
And Twitter.
You can tweet us. And what is the tweet, Jack?
I don't tweet.
Okay, forget the tweet. No, but family violence. Look, it is a very serious topic. And I guess we just want to say up front, if you are listening and you are feeling a little bit sort of unsure about your relationship, if you feel that your safety might be at risk in some way, please don't hesitate to call 000. Otherwise, if you're wanting to have an ongoing discussion about this with a counsellor, you can call the VAC on 9865 6700.
Thanks for listening. This is Well, Well, Well.
And this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And we're discussing today...
We were enjoying that song too much, weren't we?
We drifted off slightly.
We weren't ready.
We're discussing a very serious issue, though, family violence. And today our special guest is Gabby Tyack from the Victoria Police. Welcome, Gabby, to Well, Well, Well yet again.
Thanks for having me again.
Now, can we just start, perhaps... There's 17 people in the studio. Can we just start by, if you just explain your role briefly to us and how your role is helpful to somebody in the GLBTI community experiencing family violence?
Okay, well, I'm a gay and lesbian liaison officer in Victoria Police, and there's quite a few of us. There's about 80 of us around the state. Most of us are in portfolio positions, so they're doing other policing roles.
It's come a long way, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The whole concept.
It has. It's doubled this year, in fact. And my role is basically a contact point for the LGBTIQ community to speak to or contact if they're in any way hesitant in walking into a police station or just going in and speaking to any police officer. And I must say, all police officers are trained and will respond and can respond well to all kinds of incidents. But gay and lesbian liaison officers are there specifically for the community so that you can feel comfortable coming to us, asking questions and getting some information from us.
To meander through the police system.
Yeah.
What kind of additional training do perhaps maybe the GLOW officers get that maybe the standard officers don't get?
Well, we all when we go through the academy for about the last 8 or 9 years, we have specialised training. So the first week or two at the police academy, we go through diversity training.
Right.
So everyone will be trained in all the different kinds of, or a lot of the different kinds of communities we have in Victoria, some of the different challenges they face, and that includes LGBTI. So some of the barriers that this community might face in approaching the police, and in some different situations they may find themselves in that are different to other communities.
Yeah, right.
Great. Important role. And Gabby, I've heard that police, their workload is made up almost up to 50% just on family violence matters. Is that right?
Well, that's what I've seen in the papers. Probably that's where you saw it. And I can't say that it's not true. It certainly is from the times that I was working on the van responding to jobs back a number of years ago. That we were always going from job to job, and often they were family violence. So it does take up a lot of our time.
And where does GLBTI family violence fit into this? I mean, do you respond to many presentations at homes where there's been incidences between either two men, two women, a trans relationship?
Yeah, well, it's hard for me to say what percentage we attend, because a lot of the family violence in same-sex relationships or any LGBTI relationships aren't reported. It goes with all family violence. A lot of it's not reported. Right. So when police attend an incident where there's some kind of argument or fight or anything that we, either a victim or a person involved causes or a neighbour or friend causes, we have to assess whether we believe it's family violence.
Right.
So it's something that we've...
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
That sounds like an incredibly complex thing to do. Like, is there... Like, how does that happen? How do you assess whether or not this is a family...
And I just want to add to that, because last week on The Conversation, you can download the podcast, we were talking about the different areas of family violence and how wide... and what it actually is.
Yeah, it can be extremely complicated. If you're dealing with a male and a female, stats show that generally it's the male who's the aggressor or the offender, but that's not always the case. Mm. But you go into a situation where if it's a male or a female, usually the male is bigger, stronger, more physically able to assault the female. Mm. So it tends to be the male is the offender. But when you go to an incident where it's two people of the same sex, that becomes a lot more complicated. We tend to look at injuries. If someone's more physically injured, something that we can see,
right,
then that tends to be the person who is the victim.
So there's evidence that you're looking for, isn't there?
But if you go to an incident where there's no injuries, perhaps it's been verbal, an argument, or there's some damage to property,
right,
but they're both saying the other person did it and there's no other witnesses, it can be very complicated. And unfortunately, the way family violence is today, there has to be someone named as the aggressor and the victim.
Right.
So we have to decide and we have to pick one of those people.
Right. That's the protocol. That's how it's set up to respond to those incidences.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So I think perhaps in the future that might have to change, because certainly two people can be the aggressor and two people can be the victim.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Is domestic violence a crime as such on the statutes? Is it there as an offence?
No. The behaviours that are involved in what we call family violence can be criminal offences, and some aren't. Some are, but family violence as just an entity, I suppose, isn't a criminal offence. Mm. So there are obviously physical offences. People can be charged with criminal offences, so assaults, criminal damage, stalking, a number of different offences, sexual assaults, but there are also offences or things or behaviours which are categorised in family violence which aren't criminal offences, which is psychological.
Yeah,
And a few other things like that.
Like financial abuse, or sort of intimidating or threatening behaviour that may not necessarily be so obvious to other people, I guess.
Yeah, so that's where the police come in, or GLO can come in, where you can just ring up and say, okay, nothing's happening at the moment, I'm not being threatened or at risk. However, these are the situations that I'm involved in and experiencing. Is it family violence? And is it something the police can get involved in? Sometimes it may not be, because we really get involved if there's someone who's in a direct or a threat that is occurring at the moment.
Right.
A really direct or imminent threat.
Right. Does the victim have to press charges for the police to take action, or can the police actually charge somebody without somebody filing?
For sure.
Yeah.
And often we do, because we find in family violence on a number, I can't give a percentage, but on a lot of occasions, the victim doesn't want to involve the police and doesn't want the person to be charged. And that's the whole
That's quite common, isn't it?
The cycle of violence.
Yeah.
But we things have changed in how we have to respond and what we must do. So if we attend something where there's obvious physical injuries and threats, and we believe that person's in imminent danger, then we will take an intervention order out at the time, and usually remove the offender from the property.
Yep.
They may be charged straight away. There's a number of things we have to do.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that's really important that the police are able to act on the victim's behalf, because I've worked with a number of couples, both heterosexual and same-sex attracted, where the victim wants to stay in the relationship. They're worried about the pressure the intervention order is going to put on the relationship, particularly if they're the ones applying for the order. And when they've had the police say, no, actually, you know what, we're going to take this out anyway because we're concerned about your safety. I know a client I had a while ago told me that actually took some pressure off.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of the people who take part in family violence or are the offenders in the situations aren't really aware that they're committing an offence.
Right.
When you're in an intimate relationship with someone, and often when you're in a same-sex relationship, there's an idea that you can't be committing family violence. If it's two men, you can't be... You're rough and tumble kind of people. So
people think it's a mutual fight, it's two blokes.
And women can't hurt another woman.
Right.
So, and often there's the belief within our community that it's not family violence.
Right.
Wherever or however it is. And we have to take it as seriously as every other kind of violence or any other kind of relationship. I don't think I answered your question, but...
No, but I think what you did say is that there is a particular way of thinking about increasing the safety to someone at risk, and what you're saying is, regardless of whether it's a heterosexual relationship or a same-sex relationship, the same sort of thinking is involved.
Yeah, and like a victim of family violence, it takes a long time for a person to want to do something about getting out of a relationship or seeing if they can fix the relationship, because the common way of thinking when you're in this kind of situation is that the other person's going to change, and that's not going to happen with no one taking any action.
Yeah.
I mean, we spoke about it last week, but I wonder if we need to challenge using the word family violence if not everyone identifies with
the concept
with the
of family.
Of family.
Yeah, there's a lot of different agencies call it different things. It used to be domestic violence, then it became family violence. Now it's intimate partner violence, I think.
Yeah, at the VAC we call it relationship violence.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all the same thing. It's just using different terminology, and maybe some people feel more comfortable with certain words.
Yes. Now, we've had a message come through. It says, do intervention orders work to protect pets? Because I had a partner who used to threaten to harm my pets. Thanks, Mel.
Yes, it certainly does. Part of the Act, I think it specifically mentions making threats towards animals, because that's psychological damaging. It's a physical threat, because pets can be like family or children
Absolutely.
To people.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially in our community.
Yeah,
you know?
So certainly that's a common kind of threat, and so intervention orders certainly may not... I think you can probably name the pet in the order, or it just says that the person cannot threaten harm to the person in question or other people, and then you can name other things.
Yeah. So right. Get more
certainly
specific.
Can.
This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au to have your say.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
You're here with Anthony Murray and Jack, and we're joined with the fabulous Gabby Tyack from Victoria Police. We've been discussing family violence in the GLBTI community. Thank you to the caller who just called in recently and spoke to reception and said they were enjoying the show. So thanks for calling in.
Yes, thank you.
Gabby, before we went to the song, we briefly touched on a message about intervention orders.
Mm-hmm.
How do people get intervention orders? I mean, what's the process? What are some of the things people can do to sort of have an order in place?
Well, police can take them out on your behalf when there's a serious incident which has occurred that they've attended, and you're at risk. Otherwise, you just go onto the court's website and you can read up about intervention orders, family violence orders, which are for people in a relationship. And there's personal protection orders, which is the same sort of thing, but it involves another party who you're not in any kind of family or relationship with.
Like someone at work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just a person you've met,
okay,
and haven't had an intimate or any kind of relationship with. So, and then once you look at that, you can actually fill it in online and then ring up the court and make an appointment. And once it sort of speeds the process up a little bit, because if you walk into the court, you have to make an appointment. You've got to wait. You've got to sit down with the registrar and they tell them your story and they type it all up. If you do it online, that's already done. And then they get you a time in front of the magistrate in the court and they look at what's been written down, what your story is, what's happened to you.
With the actual perpetrator there as well?
No. Okay. Not on the first instance, because that's just you going in and saying, hey, I need one, and these are the reasons why, these are the situations I'm finding myself in, this is what's happening to me. Mm. And then the magistrate looks at what you've told them and makes an order, which basically, unless it's an imminent threat, you get an intervention order, which is starts working immediately, but once it's served upon the person. So otherwise you've got a 2-week wait when that other person's summons to court, so they can attend and either say, no, this is not true, or yes, it is, I want the order, I don't want the order, and they can contest it or agree with the order.
So the order is actually effective once the perpetrator has actually received the order, once they are aware there's an order out against them.
Okay. Even an interim order, which is meant to start immediately, has to be served on the other party.
What if you can't locate them?
You can actually do service online if we can't locate them physically.
Because some people may make themselves unavailable for that.
What does that mean, online?
So service has been done through Facebook before, because you can tell when people are on Facebook.
Right.
You can tell that they've received things.
Right.
And you can tell if they're on Facebook quite a lot and you've posted something on there, then you know that they would have seen it.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, particularly if they're doing like cyber bullying and the technological violence or something like that, you know that they're on the online, don't you?
Exactly.
Have the police noticed an increase in same-sex domestic violence by any chance?
Not that I'm aware of. Mm. There's been an increase. Well, it's hard to say because over the last few years, there has been an increase in reported family violence for all categories.
Okay.
However, we don't know whether that's because violence has increased or whether it's because we're responding better and
greater awareness in the community.
Exactly.
About
so there's a number of reasons. But studies show, in particular, La Trobe University has done a lot of research where they say that from what they know, family violence in same-sex relationships occurs at the same or similar rate to heterosexual relationships. Mm-hmm. So unknown if we get it reported to us, but it certainly happens at the same or similar rates.
Yes, and that's really concerning because members of the GLBTI community have also, and the private lives report that GLHV did suggested that they also experience, you know, heterosexist or homophobic violence out in the community. And then if we're also experiencing similar rates of family violence in the home, you know, there's a lot there to grapple with.
And there's another reason why people won't report, which other relationships might not have, is it's the threat of being outed.
Yes. Absolutely.
So that's something that heterosexual relationships don't have, that threat.
Yes.
That's something else that this community can fear.
Yes, especially living with HIV and having your partner threaten to out your status as well could be another form of emotional abuse.
They're all parts of family violence for sure.
All right, guys, we are going to come back right after this song. This is Meet Me Halfway, Black Eyed Peas. You're listening to Well, Well, Well. We're talking about family violence, and this is Joy 94.9.
You're tuned in to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Yes, this is Well, 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 and we've been talking to Gabby Tyag from Vic Police about family violence, types of violence, intervention orders, all sorts of things. And so, Gabby, thanks so much for coming onto the show today. It's always great to have you on here and to discuss a very important topic.
Thanks. And one of my ex-colleagues has texted in Judy, just saying she's listening and enjoying the show.
Good on you, Judy.
But also, before you go, how do people contact you if they want to speak to a GLOW?
Well, you get onto the Victoria Police website, type in GLLO in the search engine, or gay, if that's easier, and they'll come up with a list of where the Victoria Police members are all around the state and what station they're at, their contact numbers.
Beauty.
Terrific. Now, next on the show, we're continuing the theme around violence and mental health issues and how it all interrelates, and we've got Dr. Stephen Cabone from Beyond Blue. Stephen is the Policy Research and Evaluation Leader at Beyond Blue. Stephen.
How are you?
Welcome.
Oh,
welcome to Well, Well, Well.
Sorry. I skipped a bit. I thought, I hope he's there on the line.
Yeah. Welcome to Well, 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 Stephen.
We'll just give you a bit of a round of applause, shall we? Yes.
And we've still got Gabby here too, who can ask some questions.
Gabby's going to hang around with us.
Yeah, she is. She is.
So, Stephen, can you tell us a little bit about your role at Beyond Blue?
Okay. Look, as you said, I'm the Policy Research and Evaluation Leader. I haven't been here all that long, about 4 or 5 months. And, look, I support the organisation. We do we fund a lot of research. We do a lot of evaluation of the projects and the programs we do. So I'm here to provide advice and support on those issues, and then to sort of take the learnings from the stuff that we and others do and try to communicate those findings to, you know, the general public and, of course, to decision makers.
Do you actually provide any services to people who may identify as same-sex attracted and may be identifying as men in distress?
Look, Beyond Blue's got, I guess, quite a few services. I mean, one of our major roles is to raise awareness about mental health conditions. And so, you know, through our website and a range of other sort of channels, we try to, you know, I guess, you know, let people know about these conditions, the signs and symptoms of common conditions like depression and anxiety, what to look out for. And then I guess for people who are looking for some assistance, we provide an online and telephone support service that people can contact to talk to a trained mental health professional, discuss the issue, and then get some advice about where to go for ongoing sort of support and treatment. And we're often channeling people into, existing services through GPs or other, you know, specific organisations.
Right. And Stephen, what you mentioned about community awareness, helping to raise awareness for mental health, and it is Men's Health Week, is that right?
Yes.
Sam Newman reminded me of that last night on the news.
There you go.
So why is it important that we have a Men's Health Week?
Well, look, I think men's and women's experience of health and illness is different. I mean, you know, biologically we might experience different conditions, but sort of culturally and socially we might also sort of act and, in different ways. So it's important to recognise some of the, you know, specific things about the way men, you know, their lifestyle factors, their help-seeking factors and the conditions they experience and how they might differ from men and, you know, shine a light on that and, I guess, again, sort of raise awareness, provide education, help people to be more aware of, health and illness so that they can look after themselves.
Yes, and we don't live as long as women, though, do we, men? So this, you know...
That's right. I mean, you know, there's a gap in the sort of... life expectancy, and look, that's caused by a number of things, but absolutely, it's one of the things, you know, we want to try to bridge that gap and help men to live longer and more sort of healthier, high, good quality lives.
And what are some of the things that we can do to ensure that happens?
Look, I think, you know, for us, it's a mixture of the physical well-being and the psychological well-being.
Yeah.
You know, mental health is just as important as physical health.
Mm.
And, you know, we're here to try to help people understand and be aware about the things that help you to protect your psychological well-being and the things that sort of put you at risk of developing mental health conditions like depression and anxiety. And then also, importantly, trying to guide people, you know, with advice and support to the sorts of services that might find useful should they develop anxiety and depression.
Sure. Stephen, you're saying that Beyond Blue do research into mental health issues. Is there any research that you're aware of or that you've undertaken that does a comparative between heterosexual men's mental health and gay men's mental health?
Look, we've funded several projects, but one of the, I guess, the most important was a series called Private Lives. And, and that did look at, the differences in the experience of psychological distress and depression and anxiety, amongst the whole LGBTI sort of population and others. We've got some data from that.
And also, a carry-on from that, from the research around mental health issues, is that a feeder into family violence or domestic violence as such?
Look, I think there's definitely well-known risk factors or things that increase the chance of developing psychological distress or depression or anxiety. And, you know, it's no surprise that abuse and violence, you know, is one of those things that can increase the chances of becoming stressed and unwell. Whether that's, you know, intimate partner violence or other exposure to other forms of violence. But yes, look, there is definitely a connection between, you know, family, domestic yeah. violence and mental health conditions.
This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 JOY 949 or email on air at joy.org.au to have your say.
This is Well, Well, Well on JOY 94.9. What a lovely speaker's voice you have, Jack.
Oh.
So lovely.
Oh, thanks.
Very smooth.
What are we talking about, Tony?
We're talking to Stephen Carbone. He's from Beyond Blue and he's the Policy Research and Evaluation Leader. We've been talking about men's mental health. We were talking to Gabby Tyack about family violence, and we're trying to sort of link in the two, Stephen, with this conversation. We're just wondering, does Beyond Blue have a relationship with Vic Police?
Look, we've got a relationship that we're developing as part of our workplace mental health program, actually. So one of the areas that we work in, obviously, to raise awareness and to build the sort of protective factors that help people look after their mental health and also to respond to mental health conditions are schools and workplaces. And one of our big programs in the workplace is called Heads Up. And we're trying to work with various organisations across the country, really, and Victoria Police happens to be one of the organisations that we're developing a relationship with in terms of, you know, as a first responder service, police officers are often in the front line of experiencing, you know, fairly sort of difficult and traumatic yes. sort of situations.
Yeah, one question I'm curious about is, given Beyond Blue and Victoria Police are starting to emerge a relationship, I suppose, are you aware of gay and lesbian liaison officers within Victoria Police?
Look, Gabby, it's not my area. I'm sure the team that are looking after that are probably quite familiar, but it's not one of the projects that I'm specifically involved with. But, you know, I presume that you know, that my colleagues in the organisation are aware, but... you know, if not, happy for you to sort of contact me and, you know, we can put each other in touch with our respective colleagues.
Sure, I'm always trying to get the word out to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, that's often what we do. We try to use the platforms or the settings that you're sort of we're working with, you know, to raise, you know, a variety of issues. So, you know, with our work in workplaces, we can raise, you know, anything that's mental health related through those programs.
Yeah, it sounds like an important relationship because Beyond Blue is a fairly well-known program and Victoria Police working together. And as you said, they are on the front line dealing with sort of stress and trauma, aren't they, on a daily basis?
Absolutely. And look, you know, it's police and ambulance services, and
yes.
fire brigade and SDS,
yes.
You know, all those sort of what you might call frontline first responders do have sort of unique sort of risk there in their work life. And, you know, encountering that sort of, you know, trauma can obviously create psychological stresses for some people
yes.
and we're trying to work out ways to support them.
And Stephen, are there any with this week being Men's Health Week? Are there any sort of specific or special campaigns that you can talk about?
Look, we've got a media release coming out tomorrow about one of our sort of stigma and discrimination projects, but unfortunately, I can't tell you too much about it to spoil that. But yes, certainly we're raising some attention about. Men's health in particular in relation to issues of stigma and discrimination.
Now, Stephen, if people want to speak to somebody at Beyond Blue, how do they go about making contact with you?
Yeah, so look, the best sort of place to start is with our 1300 number, and that's basically for people who are wanting to talk to a mental health professional, get
sure.
some immediate support. That's 1300 224 636, or people may just want to hop online. We've got an online chat and we've also got a web email sort of service that people can contact us. And we can just hear them out, listen to what the issue is, provide some advice and also try to help them link in with appropriate services near them.
Okay, Stephen, look, thank you very much for being a guest this afternoon. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks,
and
Stephen.
We look forward to more good things coming from Beyond Blue in the future.
Yeah, keep up the good work.
Thanks very much, Stephen, for having us on.
Now, are there any messages, guys?
We do have a message. We have Naomi, who has emailed in, and she says, always love the selection of songs on your show, boys. Thanks, Naomi. I don't pick those. But she also says, and it's great to see that you're always discussing topics that are important to discuss in the community and in many cases that people avoid. And we do talk about all things related to sex, health and well-being in the GLBTI community, and family violence and mental health are obviously very important ones.
Thanks for listening. This is Well, Well, Well.
Thanks for listening to our show.
That's the sound of a whip. We need to get going.
We do. And thanks for listening. It's been an interesting show. We've been talking about family violence and men's mental health. Mm. Gabby Tyack has been kind enough to join us in the studio. Gabby, thanks again for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Gabby. Yeah.
And thanks to Dr. Stephen Carbone for Beyond Blue for his information. Just want to reiterate, if you are experiencing family violence or you're worried about your safety, don't hesitate to call the VAC on 9865 6700 and ask to speak to a counsellor, or if you feel that your safety is in immediate risk, please call 000.
And as we mentioned, this is an ongoing topical series that we've picked, family violence, so we'll be talking about it for the next 4 weeks.
That's right.
In different ways.
Yeah,
what's coming up next week?
Well, next week we're going to be talking about violence in lesbian relationships. So we don't often think about violence as something that sort of women use in relationships as well.
This is Jack Anthony Murray from the Well 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 team from VAC. Take care, everyone. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Until next Tuesday, but stay tuned for Fiona and the Afternoon Show. Cheers.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.